So Harry Fulton's going to come up and talk to us about Screwtape letters 7 and 10. I don't know if he's here or is he busy trying to think of five things he did that are worth keeping him on board. Last time Harry spoke at BCC, I think I had a full head of hair and federal employees felt like the safest employed people in the world. So things have changed a little bit. Harry and I have been friends for a minute. And I honor Harry's service to the men of BCC and also mostly to the youth of BCC. Those of you who've had a teenager come up through BCC youth ministries have probably run into him or Steve Knight, any of those other great guys that have served our youth. I'm so excited for Harry to be here. As an English major, I'm sure he's more than capable, more than qualified to teach us of C.S. Lewis. So without further ado, let me pray, Harry, onto the mic, and then we'll hear the word. Father, I thank you so much for this venue where men come together to intentionally learn your word. I thank you for the men who prepare prepare this venue, prepare the bagels, prepare the audiovisual, and I thank you for the men who prepare the teaching, especially my brother in Christ, Harry Fulton, this morning. I ask that you bless him, that the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart will be pleasing to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Harry Fulton.
Thanks, guys. Okay, there we go. All right. Thank you. Okay, nothing more that I like than hearing myself speak, let alone into a microphone. So with all this, great. A moment of prayer for me to open as well, guys, if you would entertain me here. Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask your presence this morning. We know you're already here. I pray that in the truth and the power of your word and through the supernatural work of your Holy Spirit, you would convict, transform, and strengthen every heart, soul, mind that is here and for all the relationships and the families represented in this room this day. I pray this in the mighty name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Yeah, as Jack said, it's been a couple of years, guys. So I will say in preparing to teach just two chapters of C.S. Lewis that it gives me a great appreciation as to why he attested that this was a very difficult and unpleasant book to write. He described it as dry and gritty, yet easy. I'll say that in reading through it, there a lot resonates with me. I hope with you too, brothers, in the ways, and especially in chapter 10, letter 10, in the ways that we identify with the man, the patient. Okay, so here we go. So far through eight letters, these are the tactics that Satan throws our way and his minions. Okay, all within the real demonic business of undermining our faith and preventing the formation of virtues. And so today we'll add two more to that. Okay, and we got 21 letters to go, right? So be encouraged, fellas. Letters, briefly here, I want to go briefly through the themes from letters 7 and 10 in order to circle back on a noticeably short but critical subtlety that's opened up in just a very short paragraph in letter 7. So letter 7 is about extremism, okay? So Screwtape's instructs Wormwood on how to influence his patient by leveraging factions. This letter, keep in mind that letters written in the context of Britain at war. Okay, so What Screwtape tees up to Wormwood is that he's trying to influence the man to either become a fervent patriot, many of those here this morning, or an extreme pacifist. Now, it doesn't matter which extreme, which faction or which cause that Wormwood's able to get the man to pursue or to adopt or to be persuaded by, as long as it misdirects his thoughts and his convictions, his faith away from God. Okay, distract the man in such regard. And so in any of these, in any worldly end, whether it be patriotism, pacifism, Calvinism, Arminianism, his denomination, perhaps his political persuasion, all that matters is that Wormwood entices his man to justify his faith as a means to a worldly end. And as he writes here, you can see, then you have your man. So I was contemplating how to combat this tactic, and what I was reminded of is last year, as you, some of you may recall, that Marty taught a series on unity in the body of Christ and how absolutely critical and important that is for us to represent. He taught this series, as some of you may remember, in light of some conflict that had brewed up between some members in the congregation that was the staff was involved in, and our shepherd, lowercase s, Marty, thought it took incumbent upon him to address unity in the body of Christ. So from Ephesians here, I wanted to emphasize that our responsibility is that we maintain unity. Unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, our Father of all, over all, through all, in all. Okay, that was quick on seven. Oh boy, letter 10 on bad company. If you didn't read this, fellas, go home and read it tonight or during your lunch break or whatever. Read letter 10. It reveals that the patient's developing a spiritually compromising relationship with a couple that's fun and superficially intelligent and bright and rich and worldly, wealthy. So Screwtape instructs Wormwood that the relationship will prove more effective if he can guide the man into leading a double life, that he wears a certain persona while being with this couple, and he wears quite a different one in fellowship at church. And Screwtape encourages Wormwood to make use of his social, sexual, and intellectual vanity and to appeal to that in, as he develops the personas in his settings. So, guys, this should serve as a warning to us. Again, I encourage you, whether you read it or not, let's read it again today, all right? So that it should serve as a warning to us that the more comfortable... Is it that bad, Jack? You guys got that? What? You got that in the back row? Can you guys see it? Okay, good. I should have checked that earlier. But where was I here? Yeah, the more comfortable we become in wearing these personas, depending on what the setting is, social, professional, personal, familial, eventually we'll turn in exactly to the thing that we're pretending to be. Oh, boy. So as I read through this letter, it very much reminded me of Jesus' high priestly prayer to God our Father that, like him, he is not of the world, and neither are we of the world. Note that he doesn't ask the Father to take us out of it. He sent us into it because we're to live in it as his ambassadors of the Father's grace and mercy to a lost and broken world. The other two scripture verses there, practically, gents, from your local chapter's president of People Pleasers Anonymous, are for us to, choose your friends wisely. All right, maybe we might need to consider actions we may need to take in some of our settings, in our relationships, to stand for truth as we navigate and operate as ambassadors in these relationships. Okay, that was 7 and 10 in about 5, roughly 5. A quick refresh on Sun Tzu. If you know both, no need to fear combat. If you know one and not the other, expect attrition. If you know neither, expect to lose, die. Anybody know what that is? Which Air Force? Whew. Yeah, not quite. Starts with an I. There we go. We'd certainly want to know the difference of those two, right? Yeah, especially if you were, say, operating in the Straits of Hormuz or the Arabian Gulf. Okay, how about that one? How about that one? Well, I heard that one for this one. Yeah, exactly. Friend or foe, right? So Russian Imperial Air Force, certainly would want to know that in the Black Sea or the Eastern Med, or maybe if you're operating out of Elmendorf. This one, tip of the hat to the Brits. We're studying C.S. Lewis here, okay? We'd certainly want to know this one if we're operating out of NATO. How about that? The Hangar Queen, hopefully. Hopefully, that's the Chinese J-20, fifth-gen super fighter. The Mighty Dragon. How about this? Flanker, nice. Su-27, Russian. Well done. How about that? Yeah, we got a couple of those guys in the audience right here, all right? Let's hear it, okay? Okay, Harry, look, why the recce drill, all right? Well, I'll tell you, prior to, in the vein of Sun Tzu here, fellas, prior to deployment, squadron intel, they trained air crews to be able to recognize the full order of battle, all the insignia and everything else, before heading out into the area of ops for which we deployed. Had to be able to discern friend from foe. Again, with the Sun Tzu refresh, we need to know our enemy. And I know, having through 10 letters now, reading Screwtape again, I know I need to be able to recognize my enemy's tactics and his capabilities better. That's why I'm grateful. We got 21 letters left? All right, let's go. Bring it on. Okay, we'll evaluate him through the lens of biblical truth and scripture, and let's go. So, how's that for mockery and scorn of the enemy? We should be excited for it. Yeah, all right, there we go. Yeah, 18 pilot, must be. Let's see. This is what our enemies want us to believe. You'll see there's an ellipsis here, fellas. You got it in your handout here, so hang on every word. This is going to run for about a minute and a half, so hang with me here, I think. Or not. Oh, man, shoot, guess what? We didn't get the audio clip. Or we didn't get it. We didn't get it dropped there. You got a minute? I'm back on it.
Direct terrorism, and we make no magicians. On the other hand, when they believe in us, we cannot make them materialists and skeptics. At least, not yet. I have great hopes that we shall learn in due time how to emotionalize and mythologize their science to such an extent that. When humans disbelieve in our existence, we lose all the pleasing results of direct terrorism, and we make no magicians. On the other hand, when they believe in us, we cannot make them materialists and skeptics, at least not yet. I have great hopes that we shall learn in due time how to emotionalize and mythologize their science to such an extent that what is in effect a belief in us, though not under that name, will creep in while the human mind remains closed to belief in the enemy. The life force, the worship of sex, and some aspects of psychoanalysis may here prove useful. If once we can produce our perfect work, the materialist magician, the man not using but veritably worshipping what he vaguely calls forces while denying the existence of spirits, then the end of the war will be in sight. But in the meantime, we must obey our orders. I do not think you will have much difficulty in keeping the patient in the dark. The fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in the modern imagination will help you. If any faint suspicion of your existence begins to arise in his mind, suggest to him a picture of something in red tights, and persuade him that since he cannot believe in that, it is an old textbook method of confusing them, he cannot therefore believe in you.
Great. That red tights. Okay, yeah, you guys, Mike is imagining me in red tights, goodness. So, yeah, think about this, just culturally, socially, think about how devils are picture described or pictured in our society today, okay? Hang tight on this. This is what our enemies want us to believe about this. And you heard Screwtape's standing on the policy of maintaining incognito presence. Okay, so the most common question that Lewis's readers asked him was whether he believed in devils or not, which he responded unequivocally, yes. I encourage you to go back and read the introduction on why. You'll get a little bit more of Lewis's theology on that, which we also see unfolding in the letters that we read. So again, this is in letter 10, Lewis describes in detail in this very short but critical subtlety what the enemy wants us to believe, and certainly what the enemy wants us not to believe in order for to be effective. So, okay, hang tight on that for this. This right here, this is the threat error model, which very much relies on an aircraft commander or crew's effective use of operational risk management. Which one's laser here? Yeah, all right. Operational risk management and crew resource management here, and these seven crew resource management skills. Okay, so a crew's effective adoption and use of these first six skills here is critical in, and I lost my advance. Oh, yeah, that one. Okay. In order for, so for a crew's overall effectiveness really depends on how they perceive the actual, how they perceive actual reality under the external threats and the internal errors in the area in which they operate or the mission in which they're on that are either that develop or are inherent in such missions. Now, there's a model here and all you analytical types. Oh, this is awesome. This is great. The 10-pound heads that I'm not going to spend too much time on the model here other than what I want you guys to get out of this is the effectiveness to which we operate, okay, as ambassadors of Christ in the world, very much depends on our spiritual SA and the extent to which we demonstrate it. So, we don't want to be here, okay? This could very much cost, this could be a costly place to be as a believer. When we do not perceive well, we don't want to be in that place. What may be at stake in our spiritual lives is at too great a risk for us to neglect or disregard. Yeah, and I also, guys, I just I'm mindful just of the tragedy in DCA here a couple of weeks ago, of the reality of operating in this model. Certainly coming from the aviation world, but it's even more critical for us as believers in the spiritual world and the reality in which we live. Okay, so what is that spiritual reality? What do we believe about it? What forces are actually at work, in our relationships, with our families, social settings, at church? Well, let's see. The enemy, he's a murderer. He's a liar, father of lies, speaks just out of his own character as a liar. The prince of the power of the air. Every time I read that, it just gives me chills because to think about the air, that somehow he is operating in another dimension, the spiritual dimension in my presence is frightening. No, he's got no place here, fellas. We all know that. All right? That's right. Okay? And how do we maintain that the minute we walk out of these doors? What else? Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the heavenly realm. And of course, we started off with this study that he prowls about like a roaring lion looking to devour. Certainly us, certainly our families, and certainly with those whom we are influencing and ministering to on this planet. Okay, against flesh and blood. Where am I, Harry? I'll say that my lovely bride, this was, she is just so great at encouragement. I wake routinely with yellow stickies either in my Bible or in my, I still use a hard binder calendar, you know, I'll find a yellow sticky on my calendar. So this morning I got one, she left me this one today. You got this because God's got you. Yeah, amen, that's right. I mean, I outpunted my coverage, fellas, okay? Married way over my head. But, okay, brothers, I'm hesitant, but I will. I'll share this one with you. I got a couple of these in my Bible here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I love you. I adore you. Who couldn't? Okay. Okay. All right. There he is. He's wondering. It's been 20 minutes. Let's see Harry here, right? Okay, here's also Harry, fellas. You are not my enemy. You are my best friend. Why? Now, I'll say, guys, I wish I could say that I've only ever received one of these yellow sticky reminders. But there's only been a couple. I know I can count them on one hand, all right? I'll go there. And this one's a couple of years old, okay? I didn't get this one last week, okay? So certainly still being sanctified here, okay, guys? But I bring that up because... that's right. You got this because God's got this, Harry. Okay. Why do I blow it? Like, why do I lose sight of that? Okay, why do I continue doing the exact thing I hate? Thank you, Paul, St. Paul. Well, it's because I lack spiritual situational awareness in the moment. I lack it. I miscalculate and I lose sight of the external threats the minute I walk out of this door, or the internal errors, and then I operate in that. So my perception, fellas, it's like looking through a soda straw at a radar plot that's scaled for 256 nautical miles. Not a place you want to be. I fall prey to my own flesh, the spiritual forces that are at work in the universe looking to devour me. I perceive what my flesh desires. I choose that, and I lose sight of the spiritual reality, my spiritual essay. Again, soda straw, and ultimately the eternal perspective. All right. Whew. So, what's our advantage? What's our advantage? How about the power that raised Christ from the dead? Okay, brought him up into heaven, seated him at his right hand. Above all authority, all power, all dominion, every name that is named, above all those things. Yeah, how about the power that delivered us from the domain of darkness, disarmed the rulers and the authorities, put them to shame, and is triumphant over them? How about that power? Okay, guys, so in that power, ultimately, yep, here we go, Ephesians 6, the full armor of God, okay? What are we to do? We are to be strong in the Lord and his might, because mine fails every time, every time. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, brothers. I'm determined, especially after reading, and George Laird preached on letter five a couple of weeks ago, but seeing that, that the real business of undermining faith and the prevention of the formation of virtues, more determined than ever, and you can hold me to that in a couple of months, to be a part of this fellowship so that this is the last one I get for a lifetime. Okay, fellas? All right? Okay, close with me in prayer here, fellas. Lord, you are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? You are the stronghold of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, I will be confident. We believe, Heavenly Father, that we shall look upon your goodness in the land of the living. We wait for you. We will be strong. We will take courage. We wait for you. Lord, for every heart, soul, and mind that is represented here, the relationships and the families represented within this room, Lord, we ask your blessing upon each and every one of them. It's in the holy name and in the power of our Savior, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah. You want those?